Good morning, Layton Bethel and our other video guests. My name is Sherwin. I am at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines. It is 8:15 in the morning here, so there's not as much traffic. The reason I did it was at this time is to avoid the traffic and the heat. We're having a wonderful time at the fair. A couple of Diane's cousins came up and joined us yesterday, and we had a great time. So we're continuing now in our series from the book of Revelation, and it's really quite interesting. You know, we had a slogan when I was a seminary student. I was in my 20s, and the slogan was, those who can't do, teach, and those who can't teach, preach, and those who can't preach, teach preachers. That was typical for a person in the 20s. I thought I knew everything. I had it all figured out. And I was going to show the old folks exactly how to do it. And that's what I did. So it didn't work. And then I've been fighting with the denomination for years because of that attitude. Now, what happened in the early 80s, you know, I went through a divorce and I was quite self-righteous. And so for the next several decades, I fought Reformed Church leadership over a core doctrine that has become a central part of what I believe. And that is simply that everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. Whether you're divorced, whether you're engaged in premarital cohabitation, no matter what. My theory is you teach people the Bible and then let them decide for themselves how they're going to live. You trust people to do what is right between them and God. And like Matthew 7:12 says, Jesus' core teaching, treat others the way you want to be treated. Now, the Reformed Church was not always friendly with this idea. Then we went through some things in the last decade that have made some significant changes. You know, the COVID thing came along and cut most of our churches right in half. And then there was the split. As you know, gay marriage was the bottom line over that split. And I could never understand that because nobody's required to do gay marriage. If you don't like it, don't do it. It's very simple. Any consistory or any pastor can veto that. But people wanted out. They wanted to go to a denomination that was fiercely opposed to that. Half of our people left with that split. I stayed, which I think is the right thing to do. Now, I was a delegate to our General Synod this year, which is the big gathering of the leadership of the Reformed Church. And it was held in Tucson, Arizona in June. And Tucson is a miserable place in June. It's 110 degrees, the mucus inside your nose dries up walking from one building to the next. It was a miserable place. But the attitude was good. 10 years ago, I went to, as a delegate, to a synod in Chicago. They hold it in a different place almost every year. And they fought and fought and fought about different things. And it was very unhappy. This year, it was very happy, as it was 3 years ago when I was a delegate in Pella, Iowa, which is just 40 minutes that way, just behind me here, or just in front of me here. But you know, the church, the Reformed Church, like a lot of denominations, has a history of fighting. During the pre-Civil War years, many of our congregations in New York and New Jersey were in favor of maintaining slavery. We have buildings in New York City, Reformed Church buildings, that were built with slave labor. Then you move the clock forward 100 years. You go to the 1950s, which is a little bit more, maybe 120 years. And in the 1950s, the decade when I was born, lots of things were going on in the church too. But the big deal was racially mixed marriages. And pastors were being demitted all the time because they conducted racially mixed weddings. Today, that wouldn't be a big deal at all. But back then, it was huge. And pastors actually had their credentials canceled because they performed racially mixed marriages. When I was a little kid in the 60s, the big deal was movies. We were trying to decide whether it was okay for people to go to movies or not. And we fought and fought and fought. My hometown's claim to fame, Sioux Center, Iowa, was that the pastors got together, made a council together, and blocked a movie theater from coming in. They actually made Life magazine for that sort of thing. And then, of course, in the last few decades, a big deal is abortion. Again, it's, do we trust people to make decisions or do we have to make rules on that? And, well, you name it, we fought about it. But the attitude has changed. Now the Reformed Church is peaceful and friendly and looking to the future. The General Secretary of the Reformed Church, which is, you know, the big kahuna, is, his name is Eddie Alemán. And he is Nicaraguan by birth. He's a good guy. And he has a slogan that I really like. His slogan is that uniformity, or unity is not uniformity. We don't all have to be alike. We don't all have to think alike. We can all serve Jesus in our own way. Now, the key passage that he uses for that is the passage that we're using today. But some questions first. Do we need to look alike to serve Jesus? Do we need to think alike to serve Jesus? Do we have to have similar political ideas to serve Jesus? Thinking about that, just walking around this fairgrounds yesterday, over 100,000 people here, and the t-shirts went from far right to far left, and everybody seemed to be getting along. We don't have to have the same political ideas to serve Jesus. Do we have to drive the same brand of car to serve Jesus? No, we don't. Now, some people like pizza. I'm not a big fan of pizza because it upsets my stomach. Recently, my family ordered this Jets pizza, as you can see on the slide. Now, my family, my kids and my wife like Jets pizza, pepperoni and mushroom. I don't, but I ate a piece of it. Pepperoni and mushroom with red sauce running down my beard. I don't like that food. Now, because I don't like it, can we still be a family? And the question is, of course. I like this Iowa State Fair. I look forward to coming as often as I can. The past 20 years, I've missed 2 years is all. I like this fair, and millions of people do. But the majority of Americans have never been to the Iowa State Fair. Can those who like the fair and those who don't still serve Jesus together? Yes, we can. Can we report for duty and serve, even though we have differences? Yes, we can. So today we're going to look at the Apocalypse of John, the book of Revelation, and again we see another part of John's vision. Now John had a baptized imagination. He was a prisoner on the island of Patmos. And the fellow that put him there was likely the next slide, a fellow named Domitian, or if you're in Michigan, Domitian. And Domitian was a nasty sort of guy. He was cruel. He persecuted the Christians all the time. Didn't like them at all. And what you had to do under Domitian was once a year you had to appear before a magistrate. And you had to offer a pinch of incense and say, Caesar is Lord. And that was a form of a prayer because incense always stood for prayers. Now, the Christians wouldn't do this. And so they got put in jail for not doing it. And the island of Patmos was like a modern day, like our island of Alcatraz in California. It was a prison island. And that's where John wrote this thing. Now, Domitian was assassinated in AD 96, which means that the book of Revelation was likely written before that happened. And many of the prisoners on Patmos were Jesus followers who would not burn the incense to Caesar. So let's take a look at the passage. Here it is from Revelation 7, and this is kind of the theme verse of the Reformed Church in America right now, which is verse 9. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. Now, the white robes stand for purity. You know, everything's a symbol in Revelation. And the palm branches stand for peace. So these are pure, kind, peace-loving people. That's Eddie's vision for the Reformed Church. All kinds of people, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of politics, from socialists to libertarians, united in their dedication to Jesus. The passage goes on, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Salvation comes from trusting Jesus to save you, the Lamb who was slain. And then he says this, "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" See, everyone humbled themselves and everyone worshiped the Lamb. Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white." Now, the great tribulation is viewed in a past tense. Sorry about those quads going by. It's kind of noisy. The tribulation is referred to in the past tense here. But again, remember, it is symbolic. It is always symbolic when you talk about this. It probably is referring to the people who have died during the persecutions of Nero and Domitian. They had lots of trouble with the Romans in those days. And the Romans had an easy way of telling who was a Jew or who was a Christian because the Romans were clean shaven. The Christians and the Jews didn't shave. They had full beards, as I say to my kids, like real men do. And the passage goes on and says this: "That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun." Now, we know what being scorched by the heat of the sun is at this fair. It's only 70 degrees now, but it's going to hit 90 today. This is Wednesday, by the way. So here, John's just talked about heaven. And Rome has no power in heaven. You know, this is on the news this morning. There's all this stuff about the National Guard going into Washington, D.C., and all the things and all the fear of it becoming a police state and all that. The U.S. government has no power in heaven any more than the Roman government did 2,000 years ago. And hunger and thirst will be eliminated. There'll be no more exile into the desert, which a lot of them had to go through. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Heaven means no more tears. Imagine that, the creator of the universe, the one who made the sun, the one who made these trees all around us here, that creator bends down and wipes the tears from your eyes. There'll be no more sadness, no more suffering. Those are tests that come to us in this life. That's gone. And the main point of this passage is quite simple. This passage is about radical inclusiveness. See, because the Jews were very exclusive. They weren't even allowed to go into the house of a non-Jew. And most early Christians were Jews. So it talks about this great gathering from every tribe, nation, and language. That was a very radical concept. But everybody's accepted. And everybody is loved by the Lamb. I think we're moving in the right direction, folks. A while back, I was in Chicago visiting my daughter, and her little one, Claire, was having trouble sleeping. And I noticed, I wanted to rock her, but I noticed that they didn't have a decent rocking chair. So I said to Jenny, let me buy you a chair. So we went out looking, and we found this store that actually had a play place for little kids in it. So the kids loved it. And the guy that helped us find a chair was this enormous fella, a black man, who was huge, very friendly, very nice guy, very good salesman. And he helped us through the whole process. We filled out the paperwork, I paid for the chair, and the chair was half price, which made it even nicer. And he helped us load the chair into the back of my van. Now, when he was done, I thanked him, and little Paige, who was about 4.5, 5 at the time, ran up to this guy and gave him a big old hug. There's my little blonde granddaughter hugging this enormous black man. It brought tears to my eyes. My dad would have freaked out at that, and my grandfather, too. You know, they thought Hitler had the right idea. But now little Paige has no concept of racism, and I applaud that. There's this little blonde girl who's descended from generations of racist Hollanders, and she has no racism in her. That's what this is about. It's about inviting people from every nation, tribe, and language. That is the future of the church. So different from the rest of society. So let's invite. Let's invite everyone, even people who make less money than we do, even people who are less educated than us, even people whose families are different than ours, even people who are more liberal than us, or people who are more conservative than us. The future of the RCA is pretty much up for grabs. Will we survive? That's a good, solid question. We will. If we report for duty and accept everyone. You see on this slide, core value A of Laketon Bethel. Everyone, regardless of who they are, what they have done or what they're doing, will be accepted here. Laketon Bethel will be a safe place to explore your relationship with Jesus. Folks, that's a non-negotiable. And if we don't use that core value, we won't continue on because God will shut us down. And if we do, there will be a great crowd. And Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 will come true. There will be a huge crowd, all kinds of people. And that's what we're called to do. Let's do what we can to make that happen. Well, folks, it's been a pleasure. It's been a little noisier here than previous years, but I thought getting here early would eliminate the noise, but thanks for listening. This is Sherwin Branson checking out from the Iowa State Fair.